scripture reading, which is taken from the Sermon on the Mount. This is found on Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Please rise out of respect for God's holy word as we hear from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. This is found on page 812 in the Bibles in front of you. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This far the reading of God's word. You may be seated. See now how he'll continue to build us up as we turn to the scriptures and to that powerful word which is able to do great new things in our hearts. Please turn with me, if you will, to page 528 to Proverbs chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 1 through 22 and then a little selection from chapter 3. Please stand for the reading of God's inerrant word. Proverbs chapter 2, starting in verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. And then skipping down to verse 13 of chapter 3. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you can desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Thus far, the reading of God's word. You may be seated. We thank you, our God, for the blessings that are held out to us in this text. Help us to grasp just how deep and how wide your love is, and to reckon with the great depths of the blessings of wisdom. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a friend of mine who teaches Hebrew at a seminary. And the only thing is, he wouldn't say he teaches Hebrew. He says he sells Hebrew. And it's not because he's trying to make a lot of money on it, which would be kind of ridiculous to try to do that. But he's trying to sell people on Hebrew, and then he's trying to tell these people at seminary why they should really want this. Why should you want to go to all this hard work to learn this difficult, strange language? Look, just about everybody who comes to seminary is not there to learn Hebrew. And they're asking themselves, why do we have to learn this? What's the point of this? And unfortunately, a lot of people at seminary really struggle with the languages because they've never been told, why should I bother? A truly great teacher doesn't just impart knowledge. A truly great teacher imparts the desire for the knowledge. He gives us the zeal for why we should want to work so hard to know this. And when that zeal is aroused, it's a pretty powerful thing. Desire of any kind is a very powerful thing. I once ran into a kid who was going around selling candy bars. In fact, he was so bold, maybe you've run into him. But I was sitting there in the parking lot waiting for people to come out of the store. And he comes up and knocks on my window. And so I, like, you know, bring down the window. And he's like, hey, you want to buy a candy bar? I'm like, not really. Why are you selling candy bars? He's like, I really want my very own pickup truck. And so I'm getting there one candy bar at a time. I'm like, wow, man. Wow. Like, that is desire that has been unleashed and has been directed and channeled into extremely difficult work. Going up and meeting random strangers. Why? Because the desire has been aroused in him. The goal of this text is to arouse in your heart the profound desire for wisdom. Because it will be hard for you to acquire wisdom. If you don't want to do it, if you don't want to acquire it, it's just not going to happen. You have to want it. And you have to want it bad. And so, what's he going to do here? Well, he knows it's going to be a while before you're going to see results. You have to commit on the front end. And what does he do? The father here, the master teacher, he begins by telling you, here's why you should want to know this. And that's what we'll be looking at first in verses 5 through 22 and chapter 3, that selection as well. Why should we want to know wisdom? What are the benefits of knowing wisdom? And then second, we'll talk about, just reflect on why do we lack the desire for this if it's so beneficial? And then thirdly, once we're hopefully sold on it, we'll see how we are to pursue wisdom. And I'll just give you a hint, it will not involve selling candy bars. Something much better. Now, if you look at chapter 2, maybe you caught this as I was reading it. It's really one big sentence. It's one huge if-then statement. So you've got the if part, verses 1 through 4, and then 5 and following is all the then part. If you seek wisdom, then here's what will happen when you seek it. What will wisdom give to you? We'll actually look at the then part first as our motive for seeking. So, if you seek wisdom, here's the first thing he promises. Verse 5, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. In other words, this may sound a little strange. If you seek wisdom, he says, then you will find wisdom. If you seek wisdom, you will find wisdom. And what he's trying to help you to see is that wisdom is itself the reward. Think about just what a blessing knowledge is. Think about this. First of all, it fills the void of our ignorance. Think about, say, somebody coming and asking you, hey, I'm really in this tough situation. I've got this coworker I work with who's just, we're locked in this really terrible conflict, and I just don't know what to do. Well, if you're a wisdom seeker, and if you've been storing up the biblical truths that the scriptures give, and things like Matthew 18, and how Jesus instructs us to deal with conflict, things that It just so happens we just were going over this very thing in a men's breakfast, going through Ken Sandy's book, The Peacemaker, which brings together all this biblical wisdom on conflict resolution. If you've been a wisdom seeker, well, you may not have all the answers. You may not have like the silver bullet for your friend who's got this conflict, but you'll have something to say. You'll have something to direct them to, some way to help them. You won't just be like, beats me. Wisdom fills the void of our ignorance. As he says in verse 9, if you seek wisdom, you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. You'll know what is the good will of your God in even very challenging circumstances because you've been storing wisdom. Knowledge also brings an end to confusion. A friend of mine was reading a memoir of a lady whose life goes from one horrible tragedy to the next. And the misery of it, as my friend was reading through this book, is just that the person who's writing this book about all these troubles has no clue as to why. Why are all these things coming upon me? They're like bewildered. Like, why is my life so difficult? And anybody from a Christian worldview reading this book would know. The reason why this person's having so much trouble is they're making idols out of all kinds of stuff they'll never deliver. Idols of money and of relationships and affections of other people. And when your worship is placed in those things, they will betray you. And when you understand these basic spiritual dynamics, you can actually start to understand why life is so hard. The confusion of life starts to dissipate. Not only that, but wisdom is inherently pleasant. Inherently pleasant. Look at verse 10. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. And Jesus in John 17, he kind of ratchets this up several notches. And he says, actually, knowledge is not just pleasant. Knowledge is eternal life. Yes, knowledge is eternal life. John 17:3. This is eternal life. Ready for it? This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What is eternal life? Knowing God. And this shows us one of the joys of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. It's not just going to tell us kind of like, here's how to handle these situations. Here's how to understand your life. Here's God. Here's how you can know the living and true God, the one for whom, when you have communion with him, it is the highest, most glorious blessing. Never forget that the great reward of eternal life is to see the face of God and to know him. Everything else is frosting on top compared to that glorious joy. So, to see and to know God, to wisdom itself and the knowledge of God, it is its own reward. Look at what he says in chapter 2, verse 5 here. It's not just any kind of knowledge. It's the knowledge of God which you will receive when you pursue wisdom. But wisdom is also useful. Look what he says next in verses 7 and 8. It offers us protection. Here's something that wisdom does. Here's why you should want it. It says in verse 7, the Lord is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, watching over the ways of the saints. And then again in verse 11, discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. And immediately we're wondering, I didn't realize this was going to be so dangerous. Like, what do we need guarding from? Well, two main sources he cites here. First are all the wicked people who will try to lead us astray. Verses 12 to 15. Wisdom delivers you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Sounds a lot like that gang from chapter 1 that we saw last week. These guys were like, hey, come with us, lie in wait with us, we'll rob people, we'll make tons of money super easy, it'll be great, you can share the profits with us. We talked about like, wow, that's kind of like a crass kind of offer. Maybe we're not used to getting an offer like that most of the time, but it's the kind of thing that takes many other very subtle forms. or we can be led astray into wickedness. Indeed, sometimes before we've even realized it. Wisdom guards you from the ways of wicked people who would lead us astray. The second threat is like it. Verses 16 and 17. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Now, we'll meet this lady again in future chapters. So I'm not going to camp out here. But notice what it says about both of these particular dangers that we need guarding from, the wicked man and the adulterous woman. In both cases, they will be strongly enticing. We will want to do what they're saying to us. And in both cases, their ways will lead to death. Now, we already saw that with the wicked gang, how they lie in wait for their own blood. Eventually, their life of evil catches up with them. So also with the adulterous woman, verse 18, her house sinks down to death, her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So they're both really enticing. They both will kill you in the end. And wisdom guards you from both. Wisdom guards you from both. And we saw this already last week, didn't we? With how the father deconstructs the gang's offer. And he helps you to kind of see through the trap before it even happens. And you walk into it. It helps us to see, hey, not every offer is genuine on the side of the road. Sometimes the offers have a string attached that they're not going to tell you about. So, you know, if somebody were to say, a stranger come up to you and say, hey, you want a free laptop? A fool would say, yeah. A wise person would be like, there's got to be something wrong with this. I've been around the block enough times to know not every offer is genuine. Do you have any idea how many traps there are in this life? How many, not just scammers, not just seductresses, but even all the ways in which Satan cloaks himself and tries to get us off that straight and narrow path which leads to life. It's all over the place. And we need wisdom to guard us, to unmask the traps before they snap shut upon us. So those are two things wisdom gives us. It gives us knowledge, and that is itself a reward. It gives protection. And now thirdly, it gives us life in the fullest and abundance. Look at verse 20. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. You won't get waylaid by the gangs and by the adulteresses. And you'll keep walking down that straight path which leads to the celestial city and to the blessings of life everlasting, which are only for those who are faithful to the end. And we will arrive. Verse 21. The upright will inhabit the land. Those with integrity will remain in it. And it's this last point that he really builds on in chapter 3. That's why I included it. Let me just read this to you again. You listen for the promises of life to the fullest here. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, the one who gets understanding. Why are they blessed? Well, the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And then it evokes Genesis chapter 2 and the tree of life. And it says, she is a tree of life. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Sounds amazing, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like Jesus when he says, come. And he has come so that we might have life and have it abundantly. And you know what's one of the amazing things about how Proverbs does this for us? Is it actually helps us to realize when we're enjoying the abundance and the blessing, even when outwardly the world is like, you guys, pathetic. I ask you this. If you are eating rice and beans for the 10th time in a row because finances are tight, but you're surrounded by a family that loves you, Are you blessed? Are you rich? You are. Proverbs 15:17. Better is a dish of vegetables where love is. Better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened ox served with hatred. With wisdom, you know you're living the abundant life. Even when outwardly the world says, pathetic, I have no clue what true wisdom, true blessing is. Wisdom helps you to know when you're blessed because it makes you rich towards God. And when you're rich toward God, you'll never be poor. So you have all these benefits of wisdom. I really camped out on this here for a while to try to show all the ways in which the author of Proverbs here is just expounding on the glories of why you should want wisdom, why you should desire it earnestly. It gives you true knowledge of God. It guards you from traps. It leads to the good life, the truly abundant life. Do you want wisdom? Now, at this point, if I were to just go from here to then start talking about, okay, now here's how you get it, I feel like I'd be making a mistake. Here would be my concern. I feel like it just wouldn't really change us. It'd be like the dentist saying, you know, there's a lot of benefits to flossing. You're like, yeah, yes, sir, yep, yeah, got it. And then we go home, we don't floss. But we know the benefits. Why would we not do it? Israel was told time and again, in the law and the prophets, obey God and you will live. Disobey God and you will die. God was really clear. And yet they always chose to disobey God. They never sought wisdom. Why? Is it because they didn't know how? No, it's very clear what to do. Is it because they didn't know all the benefits that would come if they did? Oh no, they knew all those benefits. It's because they never really reckoned with the underlying power of sin. Sin is always stupefying us to just keep on plodding along with the status quo. It disarms all of these kinds of calls to wisdom with things like, well, okay, he sounds like wisdom's great, but I've been getting along pretty well without even thinking about wisdom, let alone pursuing it. I don't really feel like I need to change. Hey, you're not flossing and you're not getting in cavities, so it must be okay. The New Testament takes a different approach. Instead of simply saying, obey and you will live, it says, you cannot obey. Sin's too powerful for you. It will short circuit every time your desire to obey. You will never become a wisdom seeker on your own. You must seek Jesus for help. And it's only people who have really been broken by the power of their sin, as Israel was after centuries and centuries of being told, obey and you shall live, disobey and you shall not. It was only when they had been broken with the reality that sin's not going away anytime soon that they were ready to hear, you cannot obey. You need Jesus to change you. Jesus makes us wisdom seekers. He attacks our lack of desire for wisdom at the roots. Two key roots I want to uproot right now. Number one, we lack wisdom and desire to pursue wisdom because we don't desire to use wisdom when we find it. Look, if you're a true wisdom seeker, you will be ready to make big changes in your life when you encounter things that need to change. It's not just like, I want to know lots of stuff. I want to get really smart. No, real wisdom is oriented towards making big changes in your life that will lead to life. So, for example, in Proverbs 5-7, we're going to hear tons of stuff about the forbidden woman and all the like sexual temptation kind of stuff that he talks about there. Look, none of those wisdom things in there are going to help you at all if you actually want to be tempted in that direction. The first step in knowing the will of God is being willing to do it when you find it. The first step in knowing the will of God is being willing to do it when you find it. Before we can become wisdom seekers, we have to earnestly examine our hearts, acknowledge our love of our sin, acknowledge the corruption of our hearts that wants to keep holding on to our sin, and ask God to change that desire so that we want to obey. Second reason why I think we are not turned on to the call for wisdom, why this does not grab us and the thing that we have to uproot right here at the get-go, is sometimes we don't pursue wisdom as avidly as we ought because we think we're further along down the path of wisdom than we actually are. So I mentioned that just now the scenario of the stranger approaching you and saying, "Hey, want a free laptop?" Well, that might seem like an easy one. But about 10 years back, when I was in seminary, I was really needing a laptop. I was really short on cash. And I got this email all of a sudden. It said, "Free laptop if you just click through these 3 steps." I was like, wow. And so I walked through the 3 steps. The first 2 steps were just buy these little things. And then the 3rd step, the trap came shut. And it was like, buy these incredibly expensive things, way more expensive than the laptop, and you get your free laptop. Now, why did I fall for that? I lacked wisdom, but here's the particularly humbling thing about that. I thought I was further along in the path of wisdom than I actually was. I still fell for the scam. And what that unmasked in me was the desire deep down to get money without having to trust God for it, without having to work hard for it, without saving and waiting patiently and doing it God's way. Now, you're probably all saying, "Oh, Pastor, I used to respect you. I used to respect you." But here's what I hope we'll all confess as we think about this. Lord, I'm not that far on the path of wisdom. I also am a fool. May not have fallen for that one. But there's other ways in which I am not as far along as I ought to be. And I need you to make me wise. I don't have as much wisdom as I think I have. And I need you to give me the heart that wants wisdom. So what am I saying? Here's the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is this. You are much more corrupt and much less wise than you actually think you are. Your corruption and folly means that you will never seek wisdom, no matter how many benefits it might bring to you. But Jesus Christ has come, in the words of Ezekiel, to give you a new heart and to put a new spirit within you. He will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And he will put his spirit within you and cause you to walk in his statutes and be careful to obey his rules. And so, because Jesus Christ gives to us the spirit of wisdom through his death and resurrection, let us seek wisdom. Proverbs 2:1-4 tells us how. It says, ask for it. Indeed, shout for it. Cry out for it. Verse 3, call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. It will be given. If the heart to pursue wisdom is a gift, then wisdom itself will be a gift. It's all of grace from first to last. So we ask for wisdom. We cry out to God. We know if we're going to have it, it's because he gives it to us graciously. And then secondly, we seek for it like hidden treasure. Chapter 2, verse 4, treasure up my commandments within you. Seek for it as for hidden silver. In other words, you're going to have to move a lot of dirt first to get to the silver. It's going to be work. Keep digging. And you will find wisdom. Where should I dig? Well, you know, the Word, good Christian books, wise counselors. You know all these things. The question is, because look, there's tons of things out there. Like there's millions of sermons you could listen to online. There's you know, books galore. We'll never get through it all, right? But here's what being a wisdom seeker does, how it changes you. If you really want wisdom, then you start to see those things as, well, instead of like optional things that, you know, I can kind of do without. Instead, it's like, I need to like maximize my time to get as much of this as I possibly can. I want the wisdom that I can acquire in God's grace and God's mercy and the time that he gives to me. Christ gives us the impetus to seek wisdom. He gives us wisdom itself and He will give to you the blessings of wisdom if you trust in Him. Christ is the one who makes us wisdom seekers. And then He promises it won't be a wild goose chase. It won't betray you in the end. Proverbs 2:6, the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. The one who seeks will certainly find. But will you seek? Let's pray. Our Lord, we pray this word would not be an empty word that would miss the mark, but instead that it would find root in our hearts, and that it would kindle within us a new desire, or indeed a still deeper desire for wisdom. And for all its benefits, the most joyous of all being to know You. Do this good work in our sinful hearts, for You alone are our hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.